Are we ready?
Cool.
Everybody stand up and let's get a check-in. Okay. So as usual, you're gonna step up and down and you're gonna get situated and be in the noticing of your body. And even though, so you've been doing these moves and you would expect to find a body that's feeling a lot better, but also make sure you're being honest and looking for anything that's not as comfortable or as fluid or as stable as you want it to be. Some days you're gonna have had a really rough day the day before and your body is there for you so that you know how much impact it's been holding on to for you in a life that has had a day of maybe some stressful situations or some physically difficult challenges. So I'm saying that because I have to say, Angela and Chuck, you guys are looking really good today, both of you, before we even get on the floor. So anything to report in your check-ins for today?
I had red light therapy and far infrared sauna today.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That seems to be a good add-on to your body awareness. What was the first thing called?
Cryotherapy.
Oh, wow. And the other one?
Near infrared light, red light therapy.
Chuck?
And an infrared sauna with far and near both.
Chuck's doing some research for us on some of the newer therapies that are out to see how they complement having a body that's organized, and then also so that if there are some that are really effective at supporting what we're doing in terms of bodies feeling better, nervous systems at reduced tension, then we're going to be sharing those with everyone. So that's cool. And Angela, anything to report?
The only thing that I'm noticing is a little bit of just lower body stiffness, like in my low back and my hips. I was sitting, I was in a meeting and sitting on the floor before this. So that's what I noticed.
That would be a normal thing. You know, I forgot, I may have said this, but I don't think I have, but I always laugh when, throughout all the years of working with all the people that I've worked with, I remember that often one of the first things that people will tell me is sort of a complaint is that they can't sit for very long, that they get really uncomfortable after they've been sitting. And my answer to that is, hooray, because that is your body's way of telling you that it doesn't want to be in one position for very long. It's not that sitting is bad, it's that when we're numb to the sensations that our body has been giving us. When kids are little, they can barely sit still because their body is like, no, 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 we got to move, we got to move, we got to move. But as we get older, man, people can sit for hours and hours and hours and hours and not realize that that's just because their body is numb to sharing with them that it doesn't like that much. So what you experienced from sitting on the floor with a client for a long time is your body saying, hey, enough of that. Let's move on to something else.
Mm-hmm. Very looking forward to this floor.
Pardon me?
I said very much looking forward to this floor session.
And yes. And by the way, you know, when I look at these bodies, there are reference points and structural things I am looking at to see how the body is shifting and changing based on the movements that everybody's been doing. And next week at some point during the week, we're going to send you an email and it's going to have some pictures of past clients, and they'll have lines on the pictures. And what you want to do when you get this email, and we'll talk about this more next week, is don't look at the person or think about the person. We're going to be looking at it from a completely structural standpoint. And the idea is so that you guys will begin to understand what the structure of bodies that have been conditioned in the modern lifestyle tend to look like. Some of the general structural weak areas that we find regularly in this population, so that you can then look at your own before and after pictures and see how your body is structured, and then see how the movements put that structure into a better alignment. Mm-hmm. All right, so on the floor, please. I'm going to start the timer, and I'm going to give you guys probably about 3 to 5 minutes of checking in and winking. And as I mentioned, my promise today is to keep things on real-time schedule. In fact, this series, while you're checking in, this audio, I think we're going to pull it off the website and have it be available so that you could use a real-time audio. So breathe and check in. First, you do a standing check-in. This is to get present to the current state of your body. And then when you lie on the floor, you're checking in again, because now you're in a different environment. You've taken yourself out of the upright life environment. Now you're focused specifically on sensation in your body. And we're using the floor so that your body doesn't have to engage in order to hold itself upright. And after a few minutes of being on the floor, the way that gravity applies force to your body when you're lying on the floor allows it to sink down into the floor and to settle, and for some of the upright tension to disappear just by lying on the floor. And then in your check-in, you're looking for any areas that continue to hold stress tension, even though you know, your conscious mind knows that the floor's got you. You can tell the places in your body that hold more tension than necessary when your conscious mind knows the floor's got you, the floor is right there, you're not going anywhere. Sometimes your body might think that it still needs to hold on. So now focus on your breathing. Pay attention to the current state of breath. And that isn't your running inventory about what it's doing, but the actual experience of how it feels to breathe. And for the rest of this minute, you're going to, once you get present to your current state, you're now going to invite your body to show you how it would breathe even deeper, even lower, and even slower. I'm going to take myself off video. You don't need to see me now. And now you're going to focus on your winking, and you can apply any of the principles that you've learned so far. You can focus on the area and wait for the nervous system to do the winks. You can do the clock winks. You can do a few regular winks and then pause and let your body tell you how it would like to wink. We're going to give this another minute and a half. So when you hear the ding, just keep focusing on breathing and winking. And in the background, checking in to see if there's any areas of your body that are still holding tension. Feel free to lean Lean from side to side in your pelvis. Check in with your neck. So one more minute focused on winking. And still little bits of checking in. And double checking to make sure that you're still encouraging. Nice, slow, deep breathing. And focus on your sits bones, or now you're aware of the fact that the sits bones reference the iliums, and you're going to draw those iliums or sits bones towards each other for a few seconds, and then relax. And keep continuing to contract for a few seconds and relax. Still checking in. Still breathing, becoming aware of any tension or resistance in that whole pelvic girdle. Using any of the principles, the nervous system, the marionette. And take your block and place it between your knees. And shift your focus to the femurs, the big thigh bones, and the inside edge of those thigh bones. And asking your body to pull those two thigh bones towards the block. Hold for a few seconds and relax. Feel all the way down the right side and all the way down the left side. Notice the sensation of where your femurs connect into your pelvic girdle. Notice that your thighs ever so slightly internally rotate as you're squeezing that block. And place the block by the side. Back to iliums. I personally really enjoy pulling the iliums apart sometimes. There is so much information that is shown when you're moving your body on these planes. And you want to look for the level of intensity and the direction that gives you the most sensation information. There is a lot of complexity to these deep stabilizing muscles that are on the closest layer to the bone, below all the superficial stuff. And these frontal plane moves allow you access to that. All right, block time again. Still the 2 second intervals. Fine-tuning your awareness, listening for new experiences of sensation, staying focused on sensation, and letting inner dialogue float by without giving it any attention. Noticing that as you pull your thighs towards the block, they ever so slightly internally rotate. And if anything happens in your pelvis, you'll feel a little bit more pressure on your tailbone. take the block out. Third round, right? Third round of iliums slash sits bones slash any area of your pelvis that you either draw towards you and hold for 2 seconds or pull away from each other and hold for 2 seconds is working this very, very important frontal plane. And when your pelvis knows where it's supposed to be in space, by understanding and having an experience of all three planes, everything else works better. You centered is what happens when you work the frontal plane, especially on in the pelvic girdle area. And last block round. By the way, this there's a timer that I'm using. It's a Zen meditation timer, and it has the ability to keep dinging if you have heard it and noticed it. And this is the exact timer that I use for my own program every day. And I love the ding because it's so mild that if I feel like spending a little more time on something, I'll stay there. We're showing you today how to do this in the exact time frame that's on your sheet. But when I do it personally, I spend some time in some areas depending on how my body felt that day. And take the block out. Let's move up to the shoulder blades. And find those blades. My favorite here is at least a few of waiting for your nervous system to tell you how it wants to move your shoulder blades. And then you can use the equal and opposite. You can, oftentimes I'll just squeeze my shoulder blades to remember what my conditioned body wants to do so that then I can isolate it into a more specific focus. And floor presses. Using a shushing breath, which helps to anchor the trunk to the floor so that the arms can move. We'll be getting into this with the generalizing in the latter part of class. Marionette for sure, always on this one. This is learning how to separate your shoulders from your arms, which is not something that our bodies get a lot of practice in growing up in this modern lifestyle. In fact, it's the last 25%, maybe 10-15% of the move, which is where the magic happens, where you can day by day change by little millimeters how well your shoulder girdle can stay on the floor as you're pressing. All right, now leave those arms up and clasp your fingers using the shushing breath to initiate and then letting your arms pull over. The pulling muscles are on your back. The first time people do this move, they're mostly unaware, but many times people tend to push their arms back towards the floor. But by now, after practicing this for a while, your body knows how to anchor your trunk and to use the muscles on the back side to pull the arms over. Marionette is fabulous here. Imagination always works. And the equal and opposite. And place your arms on the floor for arm angels. Do some imagining, some marionette, equal and opposite. I will often just pick a focus for the day and just really practice that version. And then I'll do a few full arm angels just to see where my body is, how things are feeling, what I can notice. In the realm of equal and opposite, our bodies are much more programmed for pushing than pulling. Front side muscles stronger than back side muscles. And move your blocks and begin your hip hinges. You can do all five on one leg and all five on the other. You can alternate. And even though the timer's going, still stay slow with this one. I can always reset. Let your body have some time to initiate the lifting of your leg from your hip flexor. Using the shushing breath is a great way to remind your trunk to be the stabilizer. And it's time for crossed ankle hip lift. And I'm going to actually reset. So wait for the shh and then hinge your leg up. When I do these moves on my own, I might spend a little extra time on the hip hinge. And wait for the timer to ding for the crossed ankle hip lift. Sometimes I'll reset. The crossed ankle hip lift is definitely one that you likely won't want to do for more than a minute, especially when you're being so focused and intentional about using your trunk as a powerful stabilizer and finding and anchoring that sensation deep in your hip crease. Staying long through the back of your head so the tailbone to the base of your skull is one long line and abs are engaged. Nice. Other side. After the shush, hinge that leg up. There's a word I'm going to use here, which is anchoring. And by anchoring, I mean really anchor the sensation of your body, especially between the tailbone and the base of the skull right now. And very, very focused on that center area, the trunk, the core, whatever you want to call it. This position that you're using the floor to help you with now is the one we're going to use for all of the generalizing later. So get a sense of how this feels because I'm going to teach you how to recreate this upright later. And let's move into foot circles using a nice equal and opposite for the straight leg, initiating the lift of the working leg with the hip hinge. Looking for smooth fluidity in your ankle joint and recognizing that your ankle is what pulls and pushes your foot around, but that your ankle is directed by the muscles from your hip down to your ankle. After you complete 5 circles each way and 5 point and flexes, you're going to switch sides. And the timer may ding, but don't focus on that. Just stay on your foot circles until they're complete. Keep breathing. And before we get to butt bridge, I'm going to give you till the end of this minute to finish your foot circles and then get ready for your butt bridge. And while you're getting ready, you can breathe into your belly. You can find and feel your pelvis again. You can begin to find the tilt that you're going to use to execute the butt bridge. You can find your feet and feel your feet on the floor and create that perfect little footprint. And now, as you shush, curl that tail off the floor and let someone pull the string for you so that your pelvis comes off the floor, but each vertebra below it is sagging and staying on the floor until it's lifted. Feel those feet on the floor. Take the bones that are on the front of your pelvis, they're called the ASISs, and Chuck and Angela, if you want to touch those points you pull towards your belly, and the very top part of your thigh muscles, your quads, you push forward away from the ASISs. And this will give you the most hip extension, the full hip extension to match the full hip flexion you did in the hip hinges and the crossed ankle hip lift. Now roll yourself down one vertebra at a time and move your feet forward for just a second. Let's do a little check-in while this minute is running. And so now gently lean back and forth and feel your entire body. Notice how it feels now relative to how it felt when you were first on the floor. Notice what has relaxed and settled down. Notice what feels more connected. Take a few deep breaths. And then go ahead and lie on your side and get ready for our rotations. So make sure that your knees are up in front of you. Your lower hand is on the thighs. Your top hand is on the bottom rib. Use your shushing to rotate, making sure that you have the length between your tailbone up your entire spine through the base of your skull, pulling in equal and opposite directions to make it straight and aware. Well, to make it straight and to have you be aware of that straight line. And that line goes through each vertebra. So as you're rotating, feel yourself rotating around this one long straight line. You can do multiple rotations. You can hold one for a little bit. Nice. Bring yourself back around and find the other side. Nice long straight spine. Bottom arm on the knees, top arm on the rib cage. use the shushing breath that activates muscles that you can then feel. It helps you notice and feel connection in your body. Take your time finishing up with those rotations, using your breath and your winks to move position, getting ready for cats and dogs. We're going to let this one go through the end of this minute and another whole minute. The cat and dog is such a powerful move. It's now connecting your upper and lower body that up until now we've kind of done separately. It draws your awareness and focus to the articulation of this incredible spine that we have. Find and feel the fluidity in your joints. Moving your pelvis with deep functional articulation, where you actively use equal and opposites to curl your tail under and pull your abs up. Whereas you're moving through these ranges of motion, you're noticing and listening for where is it fluid and where does my body need a little bit more support for fluidity. And then listening to what your body tells you about what would make it easier and more fluid, what would make it feel more balanced. Right, and let's move into the horizontal squat. Inhale as you lean forward on those elbows. Find that hinge, drop between your shoulder blades and pull back. Wow. Relax your head in this move. You only have to do half of the equal and opposite, and that is the actively pulling your body back into position with your hip creases. Once you're there, then you just allow the weight of your head to do its job. This is another move that you want to anchor the sensation. This move, if you flip it upside down, it is a squat, and so is the crossed ankle hip lift. Stay for just one more moment, everybody. Take another deep, deep breath in and exhale. Feel this connection. And then let's move into downward dog and wall sit. So Chuck's all ready for his downward dog. I'm gonna get that started first. I'll be adjusting the timer now because we've got two different things going. So Chuck, find those hip creases and pull yourself up into position. And ladies, find that position on the wall and slide yourself down. And look at that. Actually, I've got you guys all on the same timer. Wow. I gotta take a moment and say, Chuck, there's been a real shift in your hips and your downward dog. There's a really nice right angle. The curve of your low back is the least I've ever seen it.
Must be working.
It's all that ab stuff I've been having you focus on.
And the stairs and the hiking.
Heels down, thighs back for the wall sits. feeling that center thigh muscle. Breathe and notice and find. And come on down. Let's switch. And whoops, I'll get everybody on the same timer. Okay, so Ange, go ahead and curl those toes under, get ready for the downward dog. And go ahead and slide down. Ladies, hips up, pull up and back. And that's the beginning of your timer. So your hip creases are pulling your body weight up and back, and your arms are pressing the floor away from you. That's where the equal and opposite comes in. In a downward dog, you should absolutely feel some engagement in your rhomboid area that's in between your shoulder blades. And while sitters, your heels down, thighs back. And when you apply that equal and opposing force, it activates this very powerful center thigh muscle called the rectus femoris. And that rectus femoris is your anti-gravity muscle. What that means is now that your body is in a new, more organized position, strengthening this muscle in the wall sit leaves you on the neutral gravital line that you've found today for longer and longer periods of time. Come on out of that. And let's find our standing position again. And that's where we're going to begin the rest of the class today, where we're focused on learning to generalize the phases and principles from the floor into our daily lives. Okay, that's it for the real-time workout that took us about 35 minutes.